We are back. Episode number 57 of Black and a Half. My name is Silas Lindenstein. Manny Martin is not on this episode. This is actually a really unique and special one-on-one episode with comedian and actress Erica Rhodes. A few weeks ago, Erica was performing at Laughs Comedy Club in Seattle, and she needed some help with her podcast setup. So this variety show that she was doing there, and one of the guests wanted it to be a podcast, and she wanted to start a podcast, but they needed some extra equipment, so I came down there and helped her out, and sort of as payment, she said she would come on our show, and unfortunately Manny was out that day. I couldn't get him in there. It was last minute, so I couldn't get a guest host to come in that day. We have some wonderful guest hosts, but none of them were available. But I didn't want to miss out on this chance to interview Erica, because she is hilarious. You might have seen her. She was on At Midnight. She's been on Modern Family. She's been in a lot of movies. She was on a Prairie Home Companion when she was 10. And then she's done a lot of movies since then in television shows. And this was, you know, a big get for Black and a Half. And I didn't want to pass it up. Wish Manny could have been there. Almost dubbed him in. Thought it'd be funny to cover some of my questions with his voice. But wanted to keep it honest and real with you, as always here. But so this is a one-on-one interview, but it's really, really a fun one. Eric and I have a lot of, we both grew up in Massachusetts. We talk about that. We start off talking a lot about food, which, as you can tell from my pictures, recently is, something I'm enjoying a lot. Anyway, so that's it. Please still listen to the episode. Without Manny, but it's wonderful getting this one-on-one with Erica Rhodes. Big thank you to Skyline Properties, where we record this episode. Some of you out there are looking to buy or sell, you know, a house, and I can help you out. And you can go to SilasGetsReal.com. Shoot an email and get you set up with that. Helps support this show, and it helps support ongoing Star Wars collection. So do that, check it out, and you can check out Manny at Parlor Live a couple weekends this next upcoming month. And of course we wish you happy Thanksgiving is coming up. Want to wish you well for that. We should have one more episode dropping before that happens, but just want to get that out early. Watch for our episode, our little video that we send out. It's our yearly one. It's how not to fuck up Thanksgiving. You can check that out. I think it's up on Black and a Half right now. Check out that video or check it on our YouTube channel. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and again, please get out there and listen to the episode, share this episode, subscribe on iTunes or whatever your favorite medium is. We really appreciate your support, and we need it. We need it more than you know. We need your support. So again, thanks for listening. Here we are, episode number 57. Erica Rhodes.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
last, I tried something new yesterday.
Yes.
CBD oil.
Oh.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it.
It's legal?
Yeah, I think in LA now they're putting it in everything. It's in everything. You can add it to your coffee. It's in all these smoothie type drinks.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Like a coffee, like a latte with a
CBD? Yeah, my coffee shop in LA has a sign that says you can add CBD to anything.
And it's just a regular coffee shop?
Yeah.
Not like a pot coffee?
No, but they're just putting it everywhere.
Wow.
It's just an excuse to add $5 to everything.
Do they have to check your ID for it?
No, it's like... I don't think so. No.
Well, okay, yeah, I've never used it before.
You've never? So
no.
How did you like it?
I was in a car accident in May.
Oh,
and
I'm
my
sorry.
So thanks. But I've been going through physical therapy for it, and massage has helped a lot.
What happened?
I got sideswiped on the highway.
Oh shit!
And so by a van, state van. So that's hopefully. They'll pay me out.
Oh my god.
Total my car. Because less from the actual, like, I don't know. I mean, they hit, there was a good hit on it, but they did get out of the way real quick. But they hit every single panel along the left side.
Oh, no.
So it was replacing every single panel. And then, you know, with mileage, there's like, well, yeah, this is not worth it. So
but you were okay, but you just.
Well, I hurt my shoulder. Kind of a re-injury of something that had been fine before, but so they've been working on it, you know, and it's been getting strength and everything, and it's just a little, just always a little sore in the spot. And so last night I'd been meaning to, because I think I'll try it. My mom like swore by some stuff that helped her knee, so like a cream. And so I did a long walk home, and I was walking by a pot shop, and I was like, maybe I should go in. I've only taken my mother to a pot shop. It's funny. I don't usually go in. So I just went in, and it was like $70 for like this roll-on, like it's like a deodorant stick type thing. And then my wife just put it on my back. And this morning I woke up and it was the best my shoulders felt.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And most of the day it didn't hurt. Like just in the last like 2 hours. I felt like, oh, I've kind of maybe overused it a little bit today. But I'm still better than I normally am at this time
of night.
That's
great.
And so now I'm going to dose up tonight.
I've tried it for because I recently went off antidepressants, and I heard it's good for depression, you know. So I tried it for that, and it made me a little bit calm. Like it was, I think it's more for anxiety actually than depression. And so it made me sort of calm and able to sleep. But then the problem is then I felt groggy the next day. I took it in like a pill form.
The CBD?
Yeah, CBD oil.
Oh.
Yeah, you can get it in all
with
forms.
THC or without it?
Doesn't it always come with THC?
I got some without.
Oh, really?
It was THC free.
Maybe it was without. Okay. I'm super sensitive to everything, so I can't smoke pot or anything because it just makes me tired.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just get dry mouth.
Oh.
I don't get the effects that other people get.
Neither do I.
Yeah. So I'm like, I've often said, like, you know, if it made me feel like drinking does, I would do it all the time, probably.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it doesn't, but.
Drinking only makes me feel good if I have like one drink. But if I have more than one, I start to not feel good.
Right. Oh, so you're lightweight and everything then.
Yeah, I'm just sensitive. So like everything, I feel like it more, I think, than normal.
Are you sensitive to everything? Like gluten sensitive? Everything?
Gluten? I think I probably am, but I'm not obsessed. I'm not obsessed. I don't think I'm like gluten intolerant, but I do think... I try to avoid bread and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably
just overall.
You're in LA.
LA. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Bread is illegal.
Everything's a lettuce wrap.
You have to ask for it at restaurants in LA. They don't just give you bread. You have to shamefully ask for it. And then they judge you with a look.
the best thing about LA for me is when I go and I get guacamole.
I love
just
guacamole.
On the side. They just
it
like
with
chips.
Yeah.
Up here, they're like $3-$4 for an avocado. It's ridiculous.
Really?
It's the most incredible thing. Like how cheap avocados are in Southern California, which I understand also because people just like have trees in their yard.
I love avocado.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the best things.
I'm kind of known for liking avocados and Honeycrisp apples.
I love that you're known for what you like.
I am.
You know?
Like people will see a joke now.
Some people are known for the credits and you're known for, I'm kind of known for liking guacamole.
You know, we all have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, first they'll know what I like and then one day I'll get. Actually, I had this client. They gave me a gift the day of their house closed because I do real estate.
Okay.
And so.
Did they give you a house?
Well, no, one of the guys who knows me, they had a basket full of avocados and Honeycrisp apples for me. And I thought, it was like, oh, this is so cute. They know me. And so then I brought it home. And then the next day I opened it up and. On the bottom was a bottle of Hunt's ketchup because I talked about how I hate that.
Oh, that's funny. So
yeah,
they gave you what you like and what you hate.
And they hid it. So they knew, like, it was just this deliberate. They knew I was going to open this up later. And I was like, that was the best roast I've ever.
That is funny.
I love that. I don't like normal.
They should have done the opposite, though. They should have started with the ketchup, so you were like, "Oh," and then rewarded you with the hidden gem of the apple, and you know.
Uh huh. No,
they're all weird gifts, though. They're all sort of odd gifts.
I don't usually get gifts from people anyway.
No, but that's sweet, though.
Yeah. Do you have any? Are there any foods that you hate or love?
Yes, let me think about that. Don't understand. There's so many food items I don't understand. Well, let's think about this. What do I really not like? Well, I don't eat meat, but not really for I'm not like an animal person. I just don't like meat. I'm not like a good.
You're so not an animal person, you won't even eat them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want them anywhere near.
I don't like meat. What else don't I understand? You know, it's funny. I used to be a real sugar fiend and but as I've gotten older, I crave sugar less, which is good because I used to love sugar.
But did you do something to,
you know, I started taking vitamins.
Huh.
And I feel like it might have given me something that like I needed.
Like a multivitamin?
Yeah, it's like but it's kind of like a hardcore multivitamin.
Oh, is it one of those horse pill ones? Not like
they're like three. Well, it comes in little packages. It's such a ripoff. They're like $80 for the whole thing. For like a month's supply, it's like
$80. Okay.
But I do notice a difference when I take them. And I split up the pack so it lasts me 2 months.
Okay.
So it's basically $40 a month now.
So wait, so it comes like at one dose, there's like three pills or something?
Yes.
Oh.
Actually, there's six pills in a package, but I break it up. So I take three. And it's like a women's multivitamin, but it comes with like everything, you know?
And not in one pill. They're like, no it's going to be more.
Well, one's fish oil, one's magnesium, and then one's a multivitamin.
I like probably the marketing behind it.
Oh, it's such a ripoff.
Where they were like, wait, if we break this up into three or six,
it
they'll think
seems
it's something
like
more.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, this is more efficient. Cause they broke.
I think that the health food business is such a scam in general, you know, in LA.
Yeah.
It's like you'll see things that are like they charge like $15 for smoothies at some places.
$15?
Yeah. There are smoothies for $15.
Without CBD?
Without
CBD.
Yeah, it's insane. And one time I got arugula. One time I got arugula at this health food store. And I found a little bug in it. Like, it was like a little bug.
Yeah.
And so I take it back and I said, there's a bug in this arugula. And they just go, yeah, because it's organic. I was like, it's like $5 more than like normal arugula, and there are bugs in it. And they're like, yeah, but that's normal because it's organic. Just wash it. And I was like, okay, so I'm paying $5 more because I'm also getting bugs
right
in my arugula.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Was it at a store or a restaurant?
Is it a store?
Okay. So like, you just got to wash it.
They're just like, yeah, you just, yeah, wash it. It comes organic with bugs because it's organic. Oh.
I remember a woman in college, there was a worm in on her hamburger.
Ew.
Like, it was on the lettuce.
Yeah.
And she flipped out, yeah, and couldn't eat there again because of that.
No, I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't be able to either.
But I was like, well, you know, it's, the worm wouldn't be there if it was nasty. So,
right.
You know, it's probably not bad.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of like, well, actually, that makes it, that's what she explained to me. Like, the stuff that's killing the bugs could also be killing you. So if it comes with a bug, that means it's healthier. It's right. Weird. But
there's a logic in that.
Yeah, there is. There is. I like peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
I love peanut butter.
Crunchy or smooth?
I actually do like smooth, I think. Okay. Yeah.
That's my.
Yeah, I like smooth.
I don't know. I think crunchy starts making okay. I like it smooth. I want it processed. Yeah. I don't want to have to stir it.
Oh, I don't want to stir it, but there are some organic ones that I like better than like just the basic peanut butters.
I've gotten Jiffy Simple, so at least they don't have high fructose.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, no, I worry about the. Not that I have something to worry about, but I do know that they don't. They have less sugar in probably the better ones. The ones better for you. I'm like, no, that's not going to taste good. No, I just won't.
Right.
I'm not eating a peanut butter sandwich because I'm thinking.
It's gonna be good for you, yeah.
Even though it's not a bad, it does remind me a bit of being in theater in college because ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly.
Is this a food podcast?
No, I'm just. I'm hungry. What? Actually, I am hungry. But in Seattle, they're very organic up here. Mm. Do you travel a lot around the U.S.?
I have been more and more. Yeah, I'm in the next couple months. I'm like on the road almost every week.
So, do you go to major cities, or do you also do like small little?
I've done both. Towns? Yeah, I've done both.
Like,
I was just in Lake Chelan.
Oh, Lake Chelan.
That was very small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What brought you out there?
I was performing there.
Was it for Simon club shows? No.
What?
Simon Kaufman. I think he has some rooms out there. I don't know. He always has LA comics. For some reason, he knows all that.
I don't
LA
know if it was Simon.
Probably not.
It was a very nice couple that started a club there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not like a typical club. It's at the resort, Campbell's Resort.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
And Chelan's a really, it's not smoky, right?
It was. When I was there, it was totally on fire.
Oh.
The lake was on fire. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, were they warning you, like, you might have to go?
No, but you couldn't really go outside.
Oh.
Yeah, it was so on fire. Whoa. But it was so nice. They were so excited to have comedy there because it was a small town.
Yeah.
And they don't get a lot of comedy. So they were really grateful. Whereas, like, in L.A., I feel like they're so spoiled and jaded. So, like, when we did the show, I was with Ian Bagg. Uh-huh. And when we did the show, like, afterwards, I went into the town, which was one street. Like, the entire town was on one street. So you could literally be like, I'll meet you at the coffee shop because there was only one.
Yeah.
You know? And as I was walking down the street, there's a guy who literally who shouted from the rooftop that he was working on, "Great show last night." I was like, this is the cutest thing that ever happened. Like a guy shouting from the rooftop, "Great show." Because it was such a small town. So everyone was at the show, you know? It was very cute.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Is there a big difference between performing in, like, an L.A., Seattle crowd and those rural ones?
Yeah, well, just the I can't say rural. 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 The rural ones. God, isn't that a weird word
to
have two R's like that?
Yeah.
The smaller shows, towns, really appreciate comedy. You know, I mean, because it's just like in LA, I feel like they can see Sarah Silverman, they can see Chappelle like almost any night they want.
Right.
So they're just like, yeah, prove yourself to me. You know, and the subject matter that they relate to is different. So in smaller towns, you know, you want to talk more about universal things. So it's good to get out. It's good to get out of LA where it's like a lot of people are industry people or like your struggles are about making it with your dream. And in a different town, the struggle is like dealing with their kids or dealing with their job or like, you know, just like basic life things that, so it's harder. So you want to make sure you can relate to those people still. Whereas people who stay in LA and just perform for LA crowds, they can't relate to the rest of the country. You know?
So do you have like different sets based off of?
Not really. I mean, I try to adjust in the moment. So like I'll kind of suss it out. And usually like if the crowd is like smartish, they'll relate to me. If they're really not smart, they just won't, no matter where it is. You know, they won't connect. Because I don't do like super dirty and I don't do like super easy.
Right.
And so, but if they're smart and they like comedy, I think they relate.
Right.
But I think if, you know, there have been a few cities I felt like I didn't connect to for whatever reason. You know.
Is that hard when you have a second night there?
Like when you're doing a whole weekend. The first night, you're like, oh, man, this is going to be a long.
Do you assume it's the audience or do you assume it's like.
It can be a combination. I mean, I take a lot of the blame, you know, I mean.
But do you figure after the first night, do you just go like, well, it's probably just that crowd. Tomorrow we'll have a good show. Or do you figure like, oh, this is I'm in a different neck of my woods.
Well, I think the more I do comedy, the more I am able to adjust. So like if after the first show it doesn't go well, then I can be like, okay, what can I fix for the next show? Or like, or maybe I just need to do more crowd work or like connect. Like more and more I just want to try to connect to the people who are there. Like that's kind of my goal. Like whoever's there, I should try to connect to. I shouldn't be like, eh, I'm too good for you. You know, like I should try to connect with those people.
And do you do open mics still?
Not really, but once in a while if I you know, want to work on new stuff. But most of the time there are shows in LA that are like pretty much like open mics, you know.
Okay.
Like small shows where it's like.
But you're at a point now that you can, they let you on and you do your set, right? You do a set where you can put in a good chunk of new material.
Yeah,
and no one's gonna.
I mean, there are definitely times when I feel like I have to find a place to work out new stuff for sure. Like not at a big club because you don't want to bomb
at the club.
At certain clubs. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And you started off. Where did you start comedy?
6 years ago.
But where?
Oh, where? L.A.
L.A.
Yeah.
Okay. What? So you're from Newton, right? Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
We're both Massachusetts.
Yes.
Alumni, I guess. Did you stay in Massachusetts your whole like childhood?
I stayed there till I was about 18.
When you graduated high school?
Yeah, I did 1 year at Boston University.
Okay.
And then
you did drop out?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was watching one of your sets from last year. And you mentioned it, and I was curious. I was like, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if she.
Yeah, I dropped out twice. I went to BU for a year. Then I moved to New York. I took a year off. Then I went to Queens College for half of a year. And then I dropped out again.
What were you studying?
Music.
Music?
Yeah, I was a cello major.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was a music major.
Okay. And was it just not, like, was college just not a good fit?
I think I didn't want to be in an orchestra my whole life, and I love music and I love cello, but I wasn't good at reading music, you know, like so I was like failing music. So I was at BU with a scholarship. I had like a really big scholarship for cello, and I, you know, it's a really good school.
So you're a badass player then.
But the thing is I was failing music theory because I learned everything by ear. So like in reality I probably would have been better at like, you know, jazz or like, not that there's much cello in jazz, but like I would have been better in like musically if there was like an improv thing or like, you know, rock music, something that's a little bit more creative and uses that side of your brain and uses your ear, because I had a really good ear, but I wasn't intellectually good at reading music because that's a lot of math and I'm really bad at math. I've always been bad at math. So once I went to acting school, I was like, oh my God, finally I can understand the language.
Okay.
You know, like I don't feel lost. Like everything, I can read English. I just couldn't read, but music, what I would do is I would play in the back of the orchestra because I would always be in the back because I couldn't read music. So when you audition, you have to sight read.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be able to read. But then I would wait. So I would be playing in the back of the orchestra, and it would take me about a week to learn the music by ear. Like I'd have to keep listening to it to learn it. I couldn't just read it. And so I would airplay. I would fake my way through it. So I'd be fake playing for a week, which is miserable.
Right.
You kind of feel like a what's it called when you're like you're faking you're like a fraud. I felt like a fraud. Like I was like, I'm not really a musician because I can't even read the music. But then eventually I would learn it and then I could play it. But it was a painful process, and I don't think I enjoyed that aspect of it. But I loved music and I loved playing. And if I had been good enough to be like a soloist, that's what I would have liked to do, but I don't think it was my path. My mom's a musician, so I was sort of following her path, but it wasn't mine.
What did she play?
Mm. She's a professional violinist.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So your home was...
She's in the Boston Pops.
Is she?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's really good.
So this is going to be dumb. Does the Boston Pops tour?
Yeah, of course.
They do. Okay.
All over the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to Japan with her when I was in eighth grade.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was fun. And she played under John Williams and Arthur Fiedler and all the best conductors.
Is she still doing it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's been playing for a long time.
So you call her to see, like, where are you on the road now?
No, she's not always on the road.
Okay.
But she has toured with them.
Okay.
Yeah. They tour, like, once a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... then you discovered acting. Was that in college or just out of college?
Oh, no, I started acting when I was a child.
Okay.
I started on the radio show A Prairie Home Companion when I was 10.
Oh, that wasn't like a recent thing.
No, I started when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw the Prairie Home Companion thing. We've had another Prairie Home Companion guest on here before.
They're probably on the new one. I was on the old one.
The, what do you mean the old?
I was on the original one.
Yeah, now, with Garrison, right?
Yeah, with Garrison.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were on one of the last Garrison episodes. Were you a regular on it?
Pretty much. Not every week, but like, you know, a couple times a year.
Okay.
Like every few months.
And so was it acting that drew you to LA initially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then you just discover comedy there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a late bloomer with stand-up. I wish I found it sooner because I feel like it's a good fit for me.
Yeah.
But it sort of makes sense because, like, all the things that I learned before it definitely helped with, you know, it's like I did a lot of writing for Prairie Home Companion, too.
Okay.
And I was doing comedy, you know, with Prairie Home Companion. So a lot of the stuff I learned I can apply to stand-up, but I wish I had started stand-up, like, 5 years earlier.
So the credits that I saw you had some credits like Modern Family and such. Was that all pre-comedy?
After.
It was all after?
All after. I didn't start. Nothing was happening for me until I started doing stand-up. Yeah. Nothing.
Wow. So you're like, okay.
Did like indie films and indie web stuff. But
uh-huh. But was that just kind of ironic to you? Or did comedy lead to those? Or
it definitely led to everything.
Okay.
Yeah. It got me more exposure. It also helped my confidence. It helped, like, it helped a lot. Because I was in such a, like, desperate actress mentality for so long, where it's, like, all, like, you put so much stock into these auditions that, like, now I really don't care.
Yeah.
You know? And people are like, oh, that's when you get something. I'm like, no, I still don't get anything. But at least it's not painful not getting it, you know? So acting, I have a joke now I keep forgetting to say on stage, but where, you know, it takes 10,000 hours. They say it takes 10,000 hours to get really great at something.
Yeah.
Well, I think it took me 10,000 hours to realize I can't act. You know, like, I feel like I'm not, I feel like I'm not really a great actor.
Now, do you feel like you're acting on stage, or is that?
No, I think I'm being myself on stage.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to be, you know, that's my goal, to just be myself.
Do you, okay, because I was, okay, so I was an actor.
For, okay.
I mean, but stage.
Yeah.
Mostly stage and local. Always like community theater kind of level at the time.
It's great though.
And then I didn't discover, I did a lot of directing, and I started got into children's theater because they paid.
I did that too.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. I didn't want to. It was not part of my goal. But that was where
nothing
money
ever
was.
Is part of yeah. our goal.
I was like, well, I didn't go to college for 4 years to study Molière.
I did Molière. I played the doctor in Doctor Spe- oh, God, it was a long name. Wait, Molière. What else did he write?
Tartuffe.
There's a doctor.
School for Wives.
Doctor Scannarell. What's
Dr.
that? Scannarell.
I'm trying to remember now. No,
Doctor Scannarell.
Doctors. Yeah.
I played that. It was a very hard part in college.
Yeah, like, so you do all that, and then
yeah.
I'm working with children. Because of the money.
But and Molière's not children's
no,
theater.
Right, right. Well, that's what I mean. But then we go and I'm like working on the doing Grease for
oh,
them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, I didn't plan to do this. I want to work with adults, you know. And but then once I had my first child, who's 11,
oh,
I was like, I want to spend time with her.
Yeah.
And 6 weeks away doing a play wasn't really like, oh, I don't really yeah. want that. So I took some time off, I got divorced, and then stand up was something that was always a bucket list item for me. And I met somebody on a trip to go to some acting gig. Like, we were training CPS workers, so we did the role playing of the people that they would question. And so I was telling him some stories, and he was like, and I mentioned, like, when he talked about his friend that was a stand up comic and how he kind of went to some open mics, I was like, how do you get into that? And told me about open mics and how you do it, and he was like, no, you were telling some stories tonight, you should try it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I did, and it went well, and I found that I didn't have to take 6 weeks away. I could, the week my daughter wasn't with me, I could go out every night, and then I could set my own schedule,
right,
you know? And
yeah.
So it was like, oh, this is a lot easier of a thing to do with a kid and as divorced and stuff. I can I'll just go out when I don't have her. And then I didn't book shows the weeks I didn't have her, you know. And so till eventually I got in a relationship, and she was like, you know, you can book a show, and I'll, you know, I'll watch her those nights.
Oh,
you
that's
know? And
nice.
So I did that, yeah. And then I, after going a while, and I was like, okay, I'm starting to feature, and like, this is good. I was like, well, and then I'm going on some road shows. I'm like, the hell am I gonna make money doing this? And they're like, and realized, oh, features can't make a living. I'm like, well, I need to be able to headline at some point, so I guess I need to get back into acting,
right?
Because I was like, well, I need a TV credit, and so
yeah.
So then we spent time trying to get some. So I went and got an agent and started doing acting again. So now
oh,
I do
cool.
like little local stuff, and then.
Well. I should get you to talk to my friend Mindy because she wants to do more acting. Maybe you can give her some advice.
Sure.
She's local.
Oh, local?
Yeah, yeah, she lives here. She lived in, she's one of my best friends, and I met her in L.A.
Okay.
And she was at the show that you came to.
Okay.
You met her?
I think I saw her. You went off a little bit with her, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's blonde.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she's a very good actress, but she moved back to, she was frustrated in L.A. She moved back to Seattle, and then she's had a variety of jobs, all of which she has not really liked.
Yeah.
And she realizes, like, it's because acting's always been her passion, and she, you know, she just can't seem to walk away from it. So I was like, well, just do it then. Find
yeah.
a way to do it. You just can't be miserable your whole life, you know?
Yeah. And I think for me, stand-up also fulfilled some of the things that acting gave me. Like,
uh-huh.
like I was able to perform,
right,
get validation from people, strangers, you know. I got, you know, doing my own writing again.
Yeah,
writing.
Yeah, it's so creative.
Yeah,
yeah.
Self-directed.
Yep.
I do feel like early on when I started, I definitely did too much. It was like I did a lot of monologues instead of maybe stand up. I was like, because I'd go and I'd practice it, and I would get thrown off if someone interrupted me during it, because I was like, it's like interrupting a monologue in a play.
I'm on a script.
In the moment here. Yes. And a local, Rick Kunkler, he was he had a theater background, and he told me, you should he's like, stop practicing.
Yeah.
And so I stopped, which was weird for me to not be practicing the stuff I'm going to perform.
Yeah.
And so that kind of helped break me through. And I could even see whenever I did material from that moment before was very different from that stuff after. Even if I try to bring some of those old stuff back, it's like I get into this acting vibe with it instead of just being natural.
I did the same thing with when I started, where I would memorize all my jokes in order, and I had a lot of one-liners, and I would basically be like reciting one-liners,
right?
You know, and it was like, and I was like, why is this not connecting?
Yeah.
And then finally, it was like, oh, because I'm treating it like an actor, like I'm being like, I have to do the script, I have to do it in this order. Now I feel like I need a structure. Like, I definitely need to know where I'm going to begin and end. Mm-hmm. But if I memorize it too much, it sounds very like recite-y.
Yeah.
Like, here are my jokes. I'm presenting my jokes to you, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like some of my favorites, like Mike Birbiglia is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like almost like a one man show, but he's so natural.
Right.
On there that it doesn't, I don't feel like he's reciting it.
No.
But well, he is.
Yeah. Like, it's a weird thing where it's like stand up is like this weird form of sounding like you're just talking.
Yeah.
While you have jokes.
Right.
You know, because I think a lot of like beginner comics think, oh, I'll just get up and talk, but then they don't have the material.
Right.
You know, and you're like, you can't just meander around.
Right, right.
But then later on, so I think it's good if you start with the jokes. Like, it's better to start with jokes than to just start with the meandering, because you can always add to the jokes to make them sound like you're talking, but you can't meander into no jokes.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't just meander and be like, you know,
maybe you'll find a joke here.
Yeah, not really. It's self-indulgent.
Right.
So I think it's a weird, like, mix. But, like, that's why you can't really teach stand-up. Like, you just have to get up and do it because you find your own weird way to do it.
Now, if you're just 6 years in, you've kind of propelled fast, right?
That's what everyone says. Yeah,
Do you think it's because you started older than, like, you weren't like a 20-year-old when you started?
Well, I think it's because of my performance background. So, so I wasn't starting performing from scratch,
right?
You know, and I had performance background, and then I had writing background too. So I sort of had that experience, even though stand up, I do think set my, you know, like they say it takes 10 years to break in with acting.
Yeah.
And I felt like once I started stand up, I had to like start the clock over.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like I'm 6 years in and I still feel like I haven't had like a huge break yet. Or, you know, it's like it still feels like a lot of work. And like I still really feel aware of how far I have to go, you know? And every time I feel like I've made progress, I only see like how much further or like what the next step is.
Yeah.
Like, I never feel like, oh, I'm, you know, I've done so much. I feel more like, oh, now, you know, like even this week before I got here to the club, I was kind of like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing at all. Like, I've totally been doing this wrong. You know, like I have moments like that maybe every month where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing at all. Like, I don't know how to do stand up anymore, like at all.
I do that for everything that I do. I think.
Right.
I don't know how to be a parent. I don't know how to do real estate.
That's actually a really interesting topic, I think, is that I don't think anyone ever knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
No one knows what they're doing.
Oh, and when they act like they do, it's infuriating, right?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what it is.
Right. When they act like they really know what they're doing, you're like, probably
like,
not.
Even a chef, I kind of like when they're like, well, I'm trying to work on, like, if they just have this, what's it, Agnes de Mille said? It's the divine dissatisfaction.
Mm.
Like, that you're just like, I'm never quite satisfied. So you keep trying more.
Yeah, because comics that I've met who like killed from the beginning, like the ones who were really good naturally, yeah. haven't evolved much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like they get content and they don't push themselves, whereas some comics I saw do really bad in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Want you like blink and then suddenly they're really good and you're yeah. like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because they had humility in the beginning. They never thought they were great. They always thought they sucked, you know?
there are some comics that I've thought that were so bad when they started. And even some, maybe the ones who are still bad years later. But like but even the ones who got better, sometimes I'm like, I think they love comedy more than I do. Because I think if I was getting that response early on, because I got a lot of positive, I think because of performance in the back, you know.
Yeah.
I just had to put in the jokes.
Yeah, yeah, right. yeah.
I'm not sure I would have kept going for a year being
that
bad and not getting booked. Like, yeah. I started getting booked for shows like 3 months in. And a lot of people I talked to were like, yeah, it takes about a year till you start getting bookings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay. But I was like, I don't have patience for that. I'm gonna try earlier. So I'm always thinking like, man, I think they love comedy more than me, because I don't think I would have lasted if I got bad feedback that long. And then suddenly seeing them like 3 years later, they figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's great.
I know. I definitely bombed for about a year, like repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like bad.
And what made you keep coming back? Was it just that you loved it so much, or the addiction, or?
I think it's like I had little breakthroughs just enough to be like, oh, I think I have it now. Now I think I figured something out, you know. I think I had just enough breakthroughs to keep me going. But it was painful. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It was really painful.
I feel like that's the wonderfulness of it and also the awfulness of it.
Yeah.
Is like. Like how much until it took having a baby that would not sleep to get me to calm down and not go out as much, because I would always get just enough. Because I'm like, I'm trying to do a lot of things. I was like, I really shouldn't be out so much.
Wait, you're saying it took a baby to get you to start stand up?
No, to take a break from stand up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, to not
yeah.
go out as much, because yeah. I would be like, I'm not evolving as fast, partly because I'm not, you know, I have a family and I know I'm late in life. I'm not in LA. I'm not going to LA. So if anything happens, it's going to have to happen sort of up here for me. So I don't have the illusion that I'm not going to be on at midnight. You know.
Well,
you know,
no one is now.
Well, I'm not going to be on whatever the next at midnight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in LA for these opportunities. So I was a little frustrated not growing so much. And so I was like, I should, I don't know, not quit, but I should back down a lot. And I couldn't, because every time I would want, I'd go do one. Well, I have this one joke I want to do.
Right.
And then it gets a good reaction. Like, do it. And I literally almost can't say no to a show when someone asks me to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but the more that people move to LA, the less people I know. So I'm getting asked less to do shows.
But do you do road work stuff ever?
I was until I don't do it much anymore. I was doing 2 years ago, but when I had that baby, the 2 year old,
I was on. When I had that baby,
she was like 3 months old and I was gone for a couple days and I just missed her so much.
Aww.
I was like, I don't think. And so I was like, I'm just gonna, I told my the booker, I told Pat Wilson, I was like, I'm just gonna work local for a bit. I want to be back at my house at night.
Mm-hmm.
And in Washington, that's hard.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, because a lot of shows like Lake Chelan, you got
right.
a few hours drive.
Yeah, it's too far.
Back.
Yeah.
So I just kind of calmed and I was like, well, I'll just laughs. It just moves. So I was like, I'll just go there a bunch when I had time. And then I had changed, you know, my day job had changed and I'd wanted to get working in film a little bit more. So I was trying to get money to collect for that. And now I filmed my second short. And
oh,
so
nice.
That should be released in a couple weeks. I'm trying to get more into the film route.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because
you can also get attention elsewhere for. You know, like
yeah.
if you do well with that.
Yeah.
You can get it in festivals. You can expand your community that way.
Yeah. So I have to do something here to create it, you know.
Yeah.
For myself. And this is an age that, you know, Netflix studios don't have to, you don't necessarily have to be in LA.
No.
If there's, like, what we need in Seattle is we need a Bill Gates, but of movies, that is like, you know, I want to do this and I have a lot of money, but I really want to be up in Seattle, so I'm just going to build it there. Like, that's the only way we'll get. We'll,
why don't you be that Bill Gates?
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe. Everyone listening, buy a house from me. And I'll be that person. But yeah, I think it's going to take, you know, building the studios up here.
Right.
And there are some. There's some great places, but somebody's going to want to produce, like, a show up here, mm-hmm. and go and not just use the Space Needle.
Right.
And, like, there's no reason I don't think there's a reason we couldn't have a sitcom here.
You know, well, don't wait for it to come here. Build it. I'm working, you know, on make it. Stuff happen. You're doing your podcast, you're making films.
Yeah. And once, you know, once the podcast gets the Erica Rhodes bump.
Oh my gosh, you're
gonna
be huge.
It's gonna be gigantic.
You're gonna be huge. That's why we're looking at a banner that says paving the road to excellence.
That's right.
Right now, Movement Mortgage.
Yeah. Free plug.
Yeah. That wasn't even planned.
It wasn't even planned. It's genuine. It's the important thing about stand up and life.
I know.
Are you a big? I talk often here about our struggle. Both Manny and I, our struggle between being creative and consuming, like, media.
Mm.
Like, I often feel like I've spent too much time watching, like, Netflix,
mm-hmm.
instead of writing my own show.
Yeah.
That I hopefully can get. Do you ever, how do you balance that? Do you consume a lot?
I'm not a big consumer.
No?
No.
So,
no.
Like,
I have to force myself sometimes to be like, I guess I'll try to watch something just so I know kind of what's happening. But I'm not a big, I'm more interested in creating stuff than watching what other people made.
Is it weird then to do a show with someone who's like, they're in a big, they're doing something big now?
Who?
Who's that? I just watched something.
I was like, did I do a show with someone?
I was just watching that, you're on YouTube, on your channel. I'm blanking on her name and I'm hating.
Oh, Milana Weintraub?
Last Man on Earth.
Kristen Schaal.
Yeah, Kristen Schaal.
I did the hot tub show.
Yeah.
She was hosting
it. Oh, is that the show's name?
Yeah, it's called The Hot Tub.
That's so funny. It said hot tub, and I was like sitting there watching it, and I was waiting for your joke about a hot tub.
Oh, yeah, I have a joke about it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't get
that. The boat. You mean the boat joke?
No, it said the hot tub. It was probably the hot tub show, but I kept thinking that this was – I thought it was going to be a joke about
a hot
tub.
Oh, you thought my joke was going to be – oh,
yeah,
I get it. No.
It's an 11-minute clip.
No, it's like a very hip show in L.A. called The Hot Tub Show. Yeah. That Kristen Schaal hosts.
Kristen Schaal.
Yeah.
Like, did you know her?
No.
Okay.
No. I know. So, you know what? You're the second person who said, you're friends with Kristen Schaal. And I was like, no. I mean, she was hosting that show. She's very nice.
Up here, if you host a show, you kind of know everybody.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I've met her maybe once, but I don't think she'd remember me. Yeah.
She had a...
I did the Dr. Katz thing. Well, she also, I didn't really meet her through... I mean, I've met her through projects, but like... There it's like 3 degrees of separation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I did Dr. Katz the Audible version recently, and I think she did it too, but we don't know. She doesn't know.
You don't
I don't think she $15
smoothies together.
I don't think she knows me.
Right.
To be honest.
I wonder that sometimes when I see the celebrities hosting, how much they retain.
Yeah, I mean they meet people so often.
Yeah.
It's like I don't ever expect anyone to remember me. Like, recently I ran into, it was so funny, Bobby Lee. Do you know Bobby Lee, the comic?
I know of him.
And he's done a lot of TV stuff and everything. And I ran into him at the Comedy Store, and he was like, Erica Rhodes. And I was like, how do you know me? And he's like, I know you. And I was like, and I was so shocked that he knew me. So it's weird how sometimes you just assume no one knows you.
Yeah.
And then people do.
Bobby Lee's one of those people I've heard that he remembers.
He's... I like him. He's always been very nice to me.
He's got nothing but kind
of... Shout out to Bobby Lee, to all the mortgage listeners.
Yeah. He's on a great show called, or it's over now, called Love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Show. He was so perfectly cast.
Yeah, you did see that?
I did see you it. Did see yeah,
that was a great.
It was sweet.
That was actually one of the most. I will say that's one of the most inspiring shows for me to write. Inspired me to write, like, but in a good way. Not like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. The hall, not like the not Hallmark, like the Hallmark Channel. You're like the Hallmark Channel. I was like, I could do this.
Yeah. Oh. Is in your acting, did you ever have to do any movie like that, like, or any film?
Have
like,
to?
I mean.
Oh, you mean like Hallmark?
Not Hallmark, but like.
I started in horror stuff, so you know.
I thought I saw that. Did you like actually? Was that just
the first one I liked, but other ones I did not like, and I regret doing. The first one I liked, and I met one of my best friends, David Gregory. It was my first film, and it was a great experience. And David's a really good friend, and it's sort of like a cult, you know, underground horror film.
Which one was that?
It's called Plague Town.
Okay.
I mean, I'm horrible in it. I watched it, and I was like, oh. I told him, I was like, you didn't tell me. I watched it recently because I think it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I called David after, and I go, you didn't tell me I ruined that whole movie? He's like, you did not. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so bad in it. Like, I can't stand the sound of my voice. I can't stand my acting. You know, I'm supposed to be unlikable in it, and I do a good job with that.
Okay.
I'm like a bitchy, I'm the bitchy older sister, but like, I think I was horrible in it. He didn't think so, but I don't know. But I didn't regret doing that one. But then there have been other horror films where I'm like, it's so
bad. Did you like horror? Do you like?
No,
horror?
I don't watch it. I don't watch horror at all. Okay. No. I hate it. I hate watching it.
And I know. I realize, like, you don't. Like, people will ask. Oh, why? Oh, what made you choose that role? And as a new actor, you're like, I don't choose. I just
I'm not. I've never been in a position to choose anything.
Yeah,
not yet, anyway.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not even sure. Like, would I? Now I am. I do find value in my time a lot because of the children.
Yes.
That I am like.
How old are your kids now?
I have an 11, a 2, and a 8 month old.
You have three. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I don't know how you have time for a podcast.
Sleep.
Yeah.
It's all.
How am I the tired one here?
Business.
You're so awake.
I'm tired.
You are? Yeah. You're just used to it?
You know, like, well, did you watch The Avengers?
No.
Did you see that movie?
No.
Okay. Well, it talks about being the Hulk. Like, they're like, how did you learn to repress your anger? And basically, his answer was like, no, I'm just always angry now. Like, that's how we learn to control it. And so, like, I'm always tired. So, yeah. I'm always tired. So that's how I stay on top of everything. Just be constant, slightly tired.
I don't know how people have kids. I mean, I've always thought I would have them, but I'm so tired without them.
Right. Because you're on the road. And
yeah.
You know, you're in Seattle having kombucha. Kombucha.
Oh, now you're making me crave kombucha.
Do you like that?
I like kombucha.
There's different flavors, right?
Yeah.
I just tried it for the first time.
It's good.
I was at the supermarket, and then I'm like, you know what? I'll try it. And I took a sniff of it, and she's like, whoa. She's like,
it's strong.
I always warn people not to smell it.
Oh.
It doesn't smell good.
Yeah, don't smell kombucha.
Which is a weird thing. Like,
it's like, yeah, it's like smells like a mushroom.
Doesn't that seem like an anti-safety thing? Like, usually you smell something to make sure it's not foul or bad for you, like, just as in a caveman primitive way. Don't you?
No.
You don't smell meat before? Oh, no, you don't.
I don't eat meat.
So.
I don't do that.
Well, I guess with veggies. Yeah, I guess with vegetables. Wait, do you eat dairy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing
milk?
I don't eat is milk.
You're just a trusted
person. I don't
drink
milk.
No?
No.
Because of the cows?
I don't know. I think I'm slightly lactose intolerant.
Oh, okay.
But I don't make a thing of it.
Yeah. That's good you don't
make
things.
Yeah, I don't make a thing of it.
You don't make a thing of it. how do you like Seattle?
I love Seattle.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really like it. It has a similar feel to Boston. I'm from Boston.
Yeah.
So, we're both from there.
Yeah. I've commented on, people never believe me when I say that.
Really?
Because I got lucky, I think, that I went from Boston to Northern California, was born in L.A., lived in Northern California, then went to Boston for junior high, high school, and then came back to college in Northern California, the city of Chico.
Mm-hmm.
And Chico was actually considered for a couple movies because it looked like a New England school.
Oh.
Because of the trees and everything there. And so, like, and then in moving here, I always feel like I'm always living in places with lots of trees, you know, and where nature's prevalent. And so that's why I think when I go to, whenever I visit LA, I'm like, I'm tense. Cause it's like, there's nothing growing. Like, but besides sadness.
It's true. Yeah, it's a lot of cement. That's why they call it the cement jungle. Then you go up in the woods, or I mean, not the woods, the hills, or the
hills.
You go on a hike, or you could go to the ocean, or
that's the thing. The yeah, ocean's really
ocean's bad. Beautiful.
My daughters love like the water.
I do too.
I think one of the best things for me about having kids is seeing these things that I took for granted.
Life. You get to be a kid again in a way. Like you see it through their eyes.
The first time I went to Disneyland 5 years ago with the oldest one, not my first time, but her first time. Going to the beach, I think she had more fun at the beach than she did at Disneyland.
Oh, that's good.
Because
I hate Disneyland.
Just running in the water. You hate Disneyland?
I hate it. I went as a kid and I hated it as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. All I remember are the lines and how hot it was. I hated it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I hated Disneyland.
Wow.
The only time I liked Disneyland was when I went in Japan. Because it was very clean and quiet and
very respectful.
Manageable. Yeah. it was nice. I don't really like Disneyland. I don't get it.
Rides?
And I don't get adults who go there with it when they don't have kids.
Do you like rides? Or does that not thrilling?
I mean, I liked them as a kid.
Wait, when's the last time you went to Disneyland? Was it have when you gone in the last 10 years?
No.
No?
No.
But
I don't need. I don't see the point. I don't get it. I don't get the adults going to Disneyland when they don't have kids.
I think it's the the experience of, you know what I think the some of the design, like the immersiveness, the level of immersiveness they do that you don't get anywhere else. Like
immersiveness of what?
Like if you go to the Temple of Doom ride, it's like you're in, like you're walking through a cavern.
Oh,
you know,
that's cool.
Like it's, and then ride, people like to get tossed around in a ride, you know, or I don't know. How do I describe why are rides fun?
For adults, I don't understand.
Little thrills and scare. Everyone needs. I mean, I have a lot of fun doing it. I'm gonna go again next year.
You
have
kids.
I'm going next year when I have. I would go with her. I'm going to go to the Star Wars because they're making a Star Wars land. So I'm going with her without my eldest one as soon as it opens because I got to stand next to a Millennium Falcon. Do you know what a Millennium Falcon is?
No. Who is
it's
it?
It's a Star Wars ship.
Oh.
It's a Star Wars ship.
Okay. I bet that might be cool. That might be cool.
Yeah.
I just, I'm not like a big crowds person.
Yeah.
So I don't like, I don't enjoy lines or crowds or.
You just want to talk to crowds.
Yeah. There's a wall. I mean, not a wall, but there's a safety net between, you know, it's.
Are you an introvert?
Yes.
Mostly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can, I can fake being an extrovert. My mom's a total extrovert. And I think what happened, I was super shy as a kid. But as I got older and I got into acting, I think I found a way to, like, act like my mom, but I'm not like her. I'm very much more – I like my alone time. I like being alone. I need a lot of, like, downtime.
What do you do alone? You don't
– I don't – I just – I'm, like, super, you know, I'm super creative when I'm alone. So I can, like, write or, like, I get a lot of good ideas.
Do you
like,
paint?
No, I'm not a visual arts person.
No,
I'm more word. I write. I do a lot of writing or reading or thinking.
Do you do sports at all? Or do you watch
sports
at all?
I do yoga. No, I don't watch. I don't.
Sport?
So no.
Competitive yoga?
No, I don't really do sports.
Okay.
Do you?
No, I referee.
Oh.
Soccer.
Do your kids do sports?
My one begrudgingly does it. She's starting to say she likes it now. She does
what
soccer.
Oh, that's cool.
I wanted her to be. I wanted her one to not and he felt like I needed her to toughen up a little because she would get like, she'd bump into something and start crying. And I was like, what happens in college? What if something, you know, I want her to be safe. Like, I don't want
what
her.
What do you mean bump into something?
She'd bump into a wall and start bawling. Like she was a wimp, you know? And I was like, wanted her tough. Like, what if something happens? Like, I need her to be able to protect herself. And so I wanted her to play soccer. And I mean, first day is something, you know, littlest bump and she'd have,
aww, she'd melt down. Poor
but
thing.
Now she's like elbowing people, you know? And
oh, wow. You're raising a fighter. Like,
well, yeah, a little bit. And she's so much tougher now.
Well,
I'm really proud of her for that. And I'm not going to push her to keep doing it if she doesn't want to. You know, and it's hard for women out there, young women. And so I wanted her also, she's interested. I've been trying not to encourage it, but she's really getting interested in acting and dancing and stuff. I didn't want her, you know what? I want her to be, what I do like about sports is the competitive feeling. Mm-hmm. And so I want her to be able to feel like she can, like if she wants to pursue acting, it's going to be competitive. So she's
get
a little fire there.
Yeah, I think it's good for kids to do some sort of like sport or activity where it's like,
yeah,
it makes you tough.
I just didn't want her to do like really ballet where they
I did ballet.
Mess with
oh,
her.
It's bad. Don't
like,
yeah.
Emotionally, right?
Ballet is bad. I was really into ballet as a kid. Very. I was super competitive, and I wanted to be the best ballerina in the world, and oh my God, I was so into it.
How did that stop?
I realized I wasn't going to be the best. Yeah, I think there was one girl who was better than I was in the class. There were probably a few, but there was one I was super competitive with, and I wasn't very flexible with ballet, and I was good in a lot of ways with it, but I wasn't good at I wasn't flexible. Like my leg couldn't get up to my ear like some of the girls, you know?
Yeah.
So that was one of the issues, but I definitely had like body issues, you know, like I felt like if I didn't have a class where I was standing in the skinny mirror, it would ruin the whole class. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm more into my looks than I'm not liking ballet for ballet anymore. I'm liking
Have you
it.
Been able to get rid of that? Those things like,
I think it kind of sticks with you for a long time, for sure.
That's exactly why I was afraid to get her into ballet.
Yeah,
it's
weird. There are some things I think that were good about it because it's super disciplined. Like, it teaches you discipline like no other, you know. I mean, it is super disciplined. There is no art form that requires more discipline than ballet. Like, you have to do it like 5 hours a day. You're bleeding, you're in pain. But I loved it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it so much. I kind of regret quitting, to be honest. Like, I kind of wish I stuck with it just because I think I didn't understand that I could just do it for fun. Like, I couldn't comprehend that, you know, like as a kid.
Huh.
I had no perspective on being like, oh, you could do this for fun. Like, I like looked down at like girls who just did ballet for fun. Like, it was like you were supposed to be the best. Like,
right.
I was really into the Russian. I love the Russian teachers, you know.
Yeah, I think I did that in a lot of things. I've in the past looked down on people that were just
doing
it
for fun, but really they were healthy.
Right, like community theater. Like, I was like, why would you, this is your aspiration? Like, this, why?
Yeah.
And now,
now
I'm doing comedy, and I'm like, well, I'm not trying to make it, or I wouldn't be here. I'm a little more understanding of people like, oh, you just like it. Oh, okay. Well, that's
cool. There's like, it takes all kinds, you know, like the world doesn't need everyone to need it to be the best at it, you know. It's like,
and there's a level of happiness when you're
moderate.
When your expectations and your actions meet your desires, that's happiness. And so if your expectations are, I just want to
Just do it.
Community theater, for instance. Then you're happy if you're doing it.
Right.
Where I was like, no, I want to be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
So I was unhappy.
Right.
I was like, I need to get to that next level. And,
right.
You know, now I'm seeing myself. I did that in comedy again. And maybe I'm doing that in film. But I'm still learning. I know I'm still learning. So I know I'll be, I'm ambitious in whatever I do. So
right. Some people just have that personality. I want this more. Yeah. Yeah. You
know, like I want this to just be blow up completely.
Which it will.
Yeah. After you get the roads bump.
I mean, we were talking road about avocados. Bump. We're talking about avocados. That's in this right. podcast. It's edgy shit it's going edgy. On. This is, we are breaking the mold.
We were talking, I was asking Manny, we should, I was like, do you want to talk about some more, like, let's get some serious, do we want to do serious stuff? We had some serious conversations here. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, I know people need a break from.
Yeah.
Do they want to hear about Kavanaugh anymore? I mean, nobody.
I don't
does.
Know. I
nobody
tried bringing it up last night at the show, and the audience just went silent.
Oh, yeah.
And, it, you know, it was funny because the first show I brought it up, and the audience went silent, so I immediately just went into crowd work. Like, yeah. I was, like, freaked out, so I went to the crowd. Because I was like, hey, I was watching the Kavanaugh case, and it was like they just left the building, you know? Yeah. And so I was like, hey, man, what's on your shirt, you know? And I just switched it. You know, I was like, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
And then the second show, this comic Peter went up before me, and he did a Kavanaugh joke, and it killed. And so I got up, and I said, you know, the last show, I tried a Kavanaugh joke, and it went silent before I even got to the joke. And I was like, now he kills with a Kavanaugh joke? I was like, what? Can a woman not make a Kavanaugh joke? Now I can't make it because I'm a woman? And that got a big laugh. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, right after the election, if you said the word Donald Trump, nobody would laugh. You couldn't make any joke. Everyone was so mad.
Wow.
It was like, whoa. There was a big shift. It was like, oh, it's funny until it was true. You know, once it became truthful, like, we don't even want to talk.
Interesting.
We want to escape.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So hey, thank you so much for coming. I know we're running out of time to get you to your show. What's your Twitter handle?
At Erica Rhodes.
Okay, and do you? Well, that's a simple.
Yeah, I you got, were like the got only my one? Name. Got
You're
my
only
name.
One?
I guess I joined early enough.
Twitter?
Yeah.
Or are you on Instagram?
Yeah, but I had to use a number for Instagram.
What number?
22.
22.
It's my lucky number.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that coincidence or? Were you chosen as the 22nd?
No, I asked for 22.
You had 22. To add a number, though.
Okay. Yeah.
So you said 22. Okay.
Yeah, because that's my lucky number.
Erica Rhodes, 22.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. What do you have anything coming out, like on TV or anything?
No.
Can you see you coming out?
No.
Okay. It's in about a month.
I got things to plug. No, I don't have anything to plug. I have the rest of... the next 3 months, I'm on the road pretty much every week. So you can look at my website, which is ericarhodescomedy.com,
okay.
and see me on the road.
In a city near
and,
you.
Yeah, and then...
That's through the end of the year then, right?
We're yeah.
October, November.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm like pitching my own stuff. I'm writing my own stuff. I'm trying to get my own stuff together.
Are you doing your variety show in other cities?
Yeah, you know, not yet. I did it for the first time here, which thanks for being part of that. Yeah. That was, you know, the first time I took it on the road. It's called the Nightlight Comedy Show.
Uh-huh.
And it's in LA, but I'm trying to turn it into a podcast because I think people really like the interview portion of it. So
you were great. You were great to interview.
Oh, interviewed, thanks.
Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings from Jeopardy.
Yes.
And he was wonderful.
Very funny guy.
So that will definitely be released as a podcast because you helped me record that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And Ken may be coming on the show.
Oh, my God. You got it. Oh, really? Did he say he would do it?
Well, he said to email him. I said I talked to him about it, and I think he'll fit. You know, we're not celebrities, so I think probably wants to check it out first.
Yeah. But once he hears this one, that's what you should
obviously.
Do.
Obviously.
You got to listen to this one.
Then I'll come on.
Just send him the portion where we talk about how great he is.
I didn't really. I forgot. I knew at one point, but I forgot he lived in Seattle.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Super nice.
Great guy. It was good get on your part.
Oh,
good
thanks.
Choice.
I just asked him, and he said if it's a podcast, he'll do it. So I'm sure he'll do yours. Well, he just want his book. He has a new book out, so you know he's trying to get the word out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Thank you for coming, and maybe I'll see you in LA.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay. Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Live long.